2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, said here in this 9th chapter, verse 1, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we that we say not, ye should be ashamed in the same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." My text verse is verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. May we pray. Father, we thank thee this morning for your goodness, mercy, and love. We thank you, first of all, for life, and then we thank you for eternal life, which is in Christ Jesus. We come to you this morning, Lord, on behalf of these that we've mentioned on our prayer list that need you in a special way. Many we did not even mention their name, but yet, Lord, have various problems and difficulties, and some of them, Lord, even needing to be saved. We pray that if it would please you this morning, Lord, according to your purpose and plan, that you would work in their hearts and lives and bring about the very thing that you know that they need and that you're able to supply for them. Now, Father, I pray that you would bless this morning in this service. I pray that you'd give me the leadership, the guidance, the unction of the Holy Spirit. Enable me to say the very things that you would have said here for your honor and glory. Forgive me of my sin. In Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. My subject this morning is God's gift. God's gift. God is the source of all gifts. Anything that you can imagine or think, That would be a gift. God is the source of all gifts. James said in the first chapter of the book of James, and there in verse 17, listen to what the Word of God says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So God is the source of every good and every perfect gift. It does not originate here upon this earth, but it comes down from above. It comes down from God the Father, and in Him is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I believe that we can see from this verse clearly that God is the source of all good and perfect gifts. But when we think of that, we also know that He sustains and controls His creation. In doing so, He provides for all of His creatures. I think about how that God takes care of the sparrow, all of the birds and all of the animals that are God's creatures. But then I think of how He provides or takes care of man. When Paul was writing to Timothy, and he said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and there in verse 10, listen to what he says here concerning God's providential care. He says this, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men." Now that means that He takes care of them in a providential way. It doesn't mean that He saves their soul, but it means that He cares for them and takes care of them in a providential way. He says, especially of those that believe. So there is a difference between Him providing for all men and especially those that are His elect. It is impossible this morning for me to mention all the things that God gives, but I want to mention two and try to stay with these two and to let us see that these are God's gift. Now keep in mind what He said there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. Paul was talking about the bounty or the giving to help other people, but when he closes all of that out, he cries out with a great adoration of praise, because there is something and there is one that is greater than all the material gifts or material things that we'll ever possess. And he includes here in this verse 15, he says, "But thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Now these two things that I want to mention this morning pertain to this 15th verse. The first thing that I want us to think about that God has given or that God gave is God gave His Son. And this verse 15 is talking about God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that centers in Him and involves around Him. That is, that God gives, and all of this is from above. Now, there's one verse that is a real simple verse, but is one that is really a blessing, and that's John 3, and there in verse 16. Now listen or notice what this verse says. It says, here in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the first thing that I want us to notice as God's gift is God gave his Son. Now, if you'll notice that verse real close, it uses loved in the past tense. It's not in the present tense, but it's in the past tense. It said, for God so loved, L-O-V-E-D. Not that God so loves the world, but God so loved the world, and that's in past tense, and we see that, that he gave his only begotten Son. So God's gift, first of all, is his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if God gave his Son, and his Son, then he had to be in a place to where that he could give him to another place. Now, where was his Son? Where was the Son of God when God gave him? Well, I believe that we can look in the very first book of the Bible and see right in the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and we can see where that God's Son was when God gave him. Because here in this book of creation, and it has to do with the creation of the heavens and the earth and then all of the things that God created. And look at verse 26. It says this, and God said, but notice, let us. And that meant that there was not only God the Father, but that meant there was God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. So if God said, and let us, where was God the Son? God the Son was with God the Father. And when was this? This was in the beginning, when there was the creation of the heavens and the earth. So he said, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So where was the Son when God gave him, as he says in John 3:16? Why, he was with the Father. That's where the Son was. He was never any place else. From all eternity, there was God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. But now, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that thought of giving his Son as God's gift was that his Son had to leave the presence of God and to come to the earth. Now, not only do we see this, but go with me to John chapter 1. And we see there in the gospel of the book of John. And notice here, now what happened here in John chapter 1. And notice with me in verse 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word. Now notice. Now that Word is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, where was Jesus? Where was the Son before that God gave him? He was with God. And we see here, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was anything made that was made. So we see the answer to this question, where was the Son when God gave his only begotten Son? He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Where was the Son? The Son was with God. And he was with God in the beginning. Now, how did God give his Son? How was it possible for his son to leave the presence of God and to leave heaven and come down to the earth? Well, it's answered right here in this first chapter of John, and we find here in this passage of Scripture, if you'll go on, it says in verse 14, it says this, "And the Word," that is, the Son, "was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So what we see here is, how did God give his Son? His Son was with him, and his Son was deity. Even as God was deity, and as the Son was deity, and the Holy Spirit was deity, he was with God, but God was going to give his Son, or to send his Son to the world to die at the cross of Calvary for a people. And so how did he give him? Well, he became flesh. Deity became flesh, or deity became humanity. Now, how was this? God had it all designed and laid out how it can be. Look in Isaiah, and here's how that he became flesh. But now, how did he become flesh? Now, here we find deity that is going to come in the form of humanity, and he's going to be humanity, but he's going to be deity also. Now, how could this be? Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, when Isaiah told of this great truth, listen to the prophet Isaiah and what he had to say here in this 7th chapter of Isaiah and in verse 14. He said, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign." Now let's see now what's going to happen. God's going to give his Son. Thanks be unto God for the unspeakable gift. God's going to give his Son. Now here it is. God has made man in his likeness, in his image, in his likeness. And now man has fallen in the Garden of Eden. Now we see that God's going to send his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Well, how's he going to do that? He's going to have to come through the seed of the woman. Genesis 3:15, but look here. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold," now notice, "a virgin," and that's very important. The virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be a virgin. And a virgin is a person that a girl that has never sexually known a man before marriage. And it says here, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So Isaiah the prophet tells how that God's going to send his Son, deity, and going to become humanity. It is going to be through the seed of the woman, according to Genesis 3:15, and it's going to be by a virgin. And so this is how that God gave his Son, by coming flesh, and deity becoming humanity. Now go with me to Luke chapter 1, and we'll notice, and this is a marvelous truth. Brethren, this is what it all hinges on, is what I'm preaching this morning. What we believe and what we stand for, it all hinges on this thing, and that is God's gift. And first of all, that is his only begotten Son. Look with me in Luke chapter 1 and in verse 26. Now notice and follow me. I'm going to read several verses here, so just follow along with me in these verses. Now we're talking about how did God give his Son? How did he become flesh? Now look, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Now notice verse 27. "To a virgin." Now I'm confident today that people would like to wipe that out. But it is a necessity. It is a necessity that we preach the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. "To a virgin espoused," or that means engaged, "to a man whose name was Joseph," and here it is, "of the house of David," and that was also designed of God, "and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored," and that truly is a highly favored, "the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Now God chose her. And that's a marvelous thing. Now, we don't believe in Mariology because we don't worship Mary. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ. God only used her as an avenue or a means as a virgin for his only begotten son to come into the world. Now, and look, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, now notice, and shall call his name Jesus. And of course his name shall be Emmanuel. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? That meant she was a virgin. That meant she had never had a sexual relation with a man. And that's just, I think we all know that, and that's how clear it is, but this is the way that God designed for it to be. And so, and the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost. Now here it is, let us. The Holy Ghost, God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost shall come up on thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And verse 36, And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Now look at verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, and his unspeakable gift is the giving God gave his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in the presence of God, and who was rich for our sakes became poor. He thought it not our robbery to become equal with God. And so how that he came to this earth and the way the flesh of the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and this is the way that the Son of God was made flesh. Conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Ghost. Now look. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, that is John the Baptist, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. So what we find is, God's Son was in the presence of God. And there had to be a way for him to, that was deity, to become humanity. But with God, nothing is impossible. And with God, deity can become humanity. And so God designed it that he would be born of a virgin and conceived in the womb by the Holy Ghost. And so then we find this is how that God did give his Son, by his Son becoming flesh. But now, how did his Son live here upon this earth? Well, he lived his days without sin. He lived his days as the perfect sacrifice. But then, how did his Son leave this earth? Now, God gave his Son, and his Son came to this earth. But how did his Son leave this earth? His Son went to Calvary and there died. And his Son then was buried, but he arose again. And then his Son ascended back. And where did he go back to? The very place he came from. He went back to the very
presence of the Father. And now, where is his Son now?
Hebrews chapter 1, and there in verse 3 gives the whole complete thing. And it says this in Hebrews 1:3. Now look, who being the brightness of his glory, that is God, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now where is he now? He's at the right hand of the majesty on high. So first of all, in God's gift, is God gave his Son. And isn't it a marvelous thing? I thought about how that God designed for it to all to be, and this is the way that God gave his Son. Now, to me, this is a blessed truth. It's not a mystery. It's a blessed truth that I know. It's in my heart, and I don't have to worry about it, doubt about it, guess at it, anything. I know this great truth. God gave his Son. But then the second thing that I want us to notice, of these two that I've mentioned this morning, the second thing is, God gave his Son, but then second, God gave salvation. Now it's impossible for him to give his Son without giving salvation. Because to have his Son is to have salvation. And to have his Son is to be saved by the grace of God. Now let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. And there in verse 12 of Acts chapter 4. And I believe that the Holy Spirit will enable us to see this great truth that is here in this verse of Scripture in Acts chapter 4. And there in verse 12. Now keep in mind, God's gift. Keep us in mind. Keep in focus. God's gift. God gave his Son. But now look what Acts 4:12 says. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So in essence, it's like this. First of all, God gave his Son. Secondly, in God giving his Son, God gave salvation. Because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And Jesus is salvation. Now God gave his Son for the salvation of his people. You read Isaiah 7:14, and then read the verses that I've already read, and then go with me to a verse like, for instance, that is in Matthew chapter 1, and there in verse 21 of Matthew 1, it says, and it's talking about, it says in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And he goes on and explains that not only is God giving his Son, but God's giving salvation. For look what he said. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now, why are you going to call his name Jesus? Or what's the purpose of him being born? Or what's the purpose of him coming? For he shall save his people from their sins. Now, the big question comes here. You know, one verse, you go to one verse in the Bible, and you got to go to another verse. Who are his people? If he's going to save his people from his sins, and he came, God sent him, and God gave his Son, and God gave his Son for the purpose of salvation of his people and saving his people from their sin. Now, who are his people? Well, you got to go from one verse to another verse to find that out. Go with me to 17th chapter of the book of John, and you'll notice there with me in John chapter 17. Now, this is why that we ought to say this morning, thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. For in the 17th chapter of the book of John, and notice with me there, first of all, let's begin reading in verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Now notice, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now here is the question. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, for he shall save his people from their sins. His name will be Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Now, who are his people? Look in verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. Now, that means that he can do with flesh what he wants to do with it. That means he can take any individual. That means he can take any person that he chooses to deal with. And he can deal with them in any way that he chooses to deal with them. But it comes down to specifics. It says that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, in order for a people to be his people, there has to be a giving of those people from God, and all people belong to God, and there must be a giving of those people from God to the Son in order to be his people. And this is what it's saying here in verse 2, that he should give eternal life to how many? To as many as thou hast given him. And so we see here that God gave salvation when he gave the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord Jesus Christ came to die at the cross of Calvary for his people, meaning that his people are going to be saved and are going to receive salvation. Now look at verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they, that is these that he's mentioned in verse 2, that they might know thee, the only true God. Now notice, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. See, God so loved that he gave, he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when God gave his Son, in essence what he did, he gave salvation. And salvation came to us. He said then in verse 4, I have glorified, now Jesus is saying here, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And there was a certain specific work that God sent the Son to do. And he fulfilled it in every detail. And he said, and now, O Father, verse 5, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. And there was a whole host of them up until this time that had received the word. Now, what about all from this time on? Well, everybody wasn't living that the Father had given to the Son when Jesus Christ was here on earth. Everybody wasn't living. I wasn't living. You weren't living. But I consider myself as being a gift of the Father to the Son because I believe that Jesus went to Calvary and died for me specifically. Now look what he says here in verse 7. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Now remember God's gift. Now remember my subject is God's gift. Now look. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And so we see here, and we're answering, who are his people? Now, and all mine are thine, in verse 10, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Notice, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee. And these things I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Now look, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is true. As thou hast sent me into the world, now notice, even so have I also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray for I these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And so here's the others, that they all may be one as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And so we find that these are his people. Now, how can his people know God? How can they? Now, God gave his son, only begotten son, but God gave salvation. God had a people that he himself selected, and all you do is read Ephesians 1:4, he selected, and then he gave those as a gift of the Father to the Son, and so Jesus Christ was going to come and go to the cross of Calvary and die. Now, how would these people ever come to know God? How could they know God? It's very simple. John 14 and verse 6, and it says this in the 14th chapter and verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way. Now you know what I said when I said God, when God gave his son, in essence, the second thing, God gave salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But then go on over to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans with me, and we'll see exactly here what is said in Romans chapter 10, and there in verse 8. But what saith it? In verse 8 of the 10th chapter of Romans. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even thy mouth and thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now look, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich upon all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they, now see, through their word, I send them, through their word, that is, the word of the gospel. And he says, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall they preach except to be sent? And this is a work of God, the work of God sending those to preach the word of God and to preach the gospel, and so that how that they can come to know God is through the preached word of the gospel. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who will believe a report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So now how can they, now how can this be? Now we understand. We understand this fully, and we understand what the word of God says. That God chose the people. He gave them to the Son. And the Son then must be preached that he died, that he was buried, and that he arose again. And so then how can they believe in whom they have not heard? And how can they preach except they be sent? And it's God that is behind all of this, and God that is doing all of this. And then he said, well, even if the gospel is preached to them, how can they hear the gospel, or how can they even believe the gospel? Well, the answer to that is Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and there in verse 14, and here's what happens. This is the very thing that happened to Lydia, who was a seller of purple. And it says here in Acts 16:14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. Now I'm going to tell you what they heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And what that is how that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And so then it says here, this Lydia, it says, whose heart the Lord opened. So see, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now here's what God did first. God gave his son. And in God giving his son, God gave us salvation. For salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then what happened when the Lord, whose heart the Lord opened, then it says that she attended the things which were spoken of Paul. She didn't do it for then either. But she did it when that happened, when the Lord opened her heart, is exactly what took place. Now, what this all is about is the preaching of the gospel. Now, who is the gospel about? The gospel's about the Son of God. The gospel's about the one that God sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel is about the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, when Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and you say, well, I've heard the gospel preached a lot, and I'm not saved, but you ain't never heard it preached in power. Now, what I mean by that is, you've probably heard it perhaps preached many times in a powerful way, but when it comes to you, and not in word only, but in power, then's when you'll hear the gospel for the first time, of how that it's more than Christ died for the sins of the world, but how that Christ died for my sins. Now look here in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, and Paul says this, and he caps this off beginning with verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. And here's how. For our gospel came not in you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And so when the Lord opens the heart is when the gospel comes to you in power. Paul knew this. He said, what did Paul say in Romans 1:16? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For he said what? For it is the power of what? Power of God. What for? Unto salvation. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It's not just for the Jew, but it's also for the Greek. It's not just for the Jew, it's also for the Gentile. And so we see here that God opens their heart and the preaching of the gospel comes along. And then turn over to 2 Thessalonians, and there in chapter 2 and verse 13 and 14, and notice what Paul is saying here. He said, but we're bound to give thanks all the way to God for you. Now who do you give thanks? To God. Now, why? These are brethren. Now, why are they brethren? They're brethren because God sent His Son. And because God gave His Son. And because God, in giving His Son, gave salvation. He said, but we are bound to give thanks all the way to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Now, beloved of the Lord. For God so loved. Now, look. Because God hath from the beginning, here's how all is. Now, where was He? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he says here that God hath from the beginning chosen you. That means selected you to salvation. How? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now how do you hear about that? Because someone sent, and that person sent, and what they're sent to do is to preach the gospel. He said, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what it all comes down to. Now, I love to see people saved by the grace of God. And there's nothing that rejoices my heart any more this morning than one of you that are not saved to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But all I'm going to do is tell you what I've told you. And I'm going to leave it right there. Because the God I know gave His only begotten Son. And He had a group of people that He chose, and He gave them to the Son. He said, now, Son, I'm going to send you to die for these people. And the way they're going to know that you died for me is the gospel's going to be preached to you. And when the gospel's preached to you, I'm going to open their hearts. And they're going to see themselves a sinner, and they're going to come to receive you as their Savior. Now that's the way it is, folks. Look with me in Acts chapter 13. I close with this verse of Scripture. In Acts chapter 13, and I was looking over here in this 13th chapter of Acts, and you'll notice that what took place and what really happened here in this 13th chapter of Acts, and we find that as they're going along here in how that salvation is that which is sent, and salvation which comes of God, and how that they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And he said in this passage of Scripture, beginning in verse 6, he said, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Now look at verse 27. For they that dwell at Jerusalem, the rulers, because they knew not him, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. Now they're going to talk about the person that God sent, Jesus Christ. And then they had fulfilled all that was written of him, that is according to that prophecy, and took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But notice, but God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it also is written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid in his father's and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Now look. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Now, who is that? This is the person that God sent. This is Acts chapter 13, verse 38. And by him, all that believe, in verse 39, are justified from all things, by which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. But then he says, Beware, lest there come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached unto them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath came together almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, to the Jew first. Then he said, But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, say, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Now look at verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. The rest of them didn't. Never did. Never will. This is God's gift.